And welcome you back to the WTOALP microphone. It's Father Ray, our beloved pastor. Welcome back.
Hey, Steve. How we doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I don't know how beloved, but I am still the pastor. So
and beloved by all of us, absolutely.
Thanks.
So we're into a new season now. It's Advent.
It will be Advent by the time this airs, I believe, right?
That is correct.
Good, yeah. I'm excited about
it. See, now if you pretend that it's not airing until we get to Advent, then people will think it's really happening.
Well, it's coming no matter what. So is the Lord, right?
Yeah, that's
what we prepare
right.
for during the holy season of Advent.
So Advent is a time of new beginnings.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And we have, lots of new things happening here at the parish.
The biggest change that affects most people is the new Mass times that begins.
It's happening.
That has begun.
It has begun.
That has begun.
Yes.
And hopefully we haven't confused too many people, and you haven't arrived too early or too late for Mass. But our Mass schedule is Friday, is a weekday, and on the 7th will be the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, Friday the 7th.
Yes.
And that is a holy day of obligation.
Yeah, that's one of the ones they don't do away with just because it falls on a Saturday or Sunday.
No, that's right. So we'll have our bilingual Mass at 6 p.m. and on the 7th, and then on the 8th, on Saturday the 8th, on the feast day itself, we'll have Mass at 10 a.m. in English. The evening Mass at 5 p.m. does not fulfill the obligation of the holy day for the Immaculate Conception.
So folks who go to church on Saturday need to go twice.
Yes, and yes, you can receive the Eucharist twice in one day, because I know a lot of people will ask me before the Mass, but if they're listening to WTOA,
they
to this
probably
program,
know that.
They should know that.
Well, let's talk. Can we talk about that for one second?
Yeah, sure.
Because that was, for a long time, I was always under the impression that, you know, it was once a day. But I think they relaxed that, and it became twice a day you could receive. But is that per calendar day, or is that per celebration?
Either or.
Either or.
Yeah.
Okay. That works. Because
usually, like, most people wouldn't go to the same Mass, to two daily Masses twice. Although it's possible, like
sure.
on Wednesday, you know, someone may want to come to the noon Mass at the old St. Teresa's downtown and then want to come back at night. And it would be perfectly fine for them to receive communion both times.
Yeah, okay. So that works. All right, so the new Mass schedule, Saturday afternoon confessions are now at 4.
Right, 4 to 4:45.
Mass at 5.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Sunday, the 8:30 Mass has moved to 8 o'clock.
That's correct.
And the Spanish Mass is now in between the two English Masses with a Mass at time at 9:30.
Yes.
And then the English Mass at 11, and it's all done shortly around noontime, and we save money on air conditioning.
That is true. That is one of the benefits. But, you know, the greater benefit is for our Hispanic brothers and sisters. I mean, if you think about it, their Mass wasn't until 12:30. And for many of them, they only have Sunday as their own day off. And so having Mass in the middle of the day, we would think is perfect, right? What better way to celebrate your day of rest and relaxation than praising the Lord, right? That's what the Sabbath is all about. But the reality is that many have a lot of other obligations to do. I think moving the Mass, the Spanish Mass, to 9:30 in the morning is a prime time for them. It will be good for them, and I'm hoping that we'll be able to increase those who especially work in restaurants and services to be able to come at that time, whereas during the lunch rush hour, they usually don't or aren't able to attend.
So good. New Mass times. Christmas season will follow, of course, Do you already know what the Mass times will be at Christmas?
I'm sure I do, but I don't have it with me.
Good.
But that's the reason why you need to come back and listen.
Absolutely. Stay tuned to WTOA for Mass times in Albany. We will give it to you. Okay, so that's something else is new at St. Teresa's, but it's actually kind of old. There's it kind of immediately visible when you walk into the church.
Yeah, and if you, those who were at Mass on the weekend of Thanksgiving noticed that...
they thought a crime had been committed.
Right.
And I police tape all around the altar.
However, it wasn't police tape. It was caution tape.
Oh, caution tape. Okay.
Many people were questioning what crime had happened and why the altar from the last renovation had been moved to the back of the church. The reason being, about 2 years ago, we were able to get a beautiful antique Renaissance rare altar from the 1800s.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and it looked really great in the pictures. And when it came in about, 65 different pieces, it certainly showed its wear and tear. So for the last 2 years, believe it or not, we've had a core group of people who have been working to restore it. And it is absolutely magnificent. And it will be, well, for those of you who have gone to Mass since you've heard this, you will have seen the base of the altar. There's a lot more to that altar, and that will come within the next year or so as we continue to refurbish it and bring it back to its original glory.
Okay, and so that's going to be what you see, obviously, when you look up in the altar area, the main altar. Now the one that we've moved to the back of the church, it's kind of created a nice private area for at the votive candles. Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's being the pastor, it's created one of two things. Either it's created a place for the kids to play with the candles without their parents watching them, and then hence burning down the church, or it has actually created what the goal was, is a nice private prayer area. And so we're hoping that it's the second.
Not yes, the yes, we do want the latter. And if my thinking cap is working here, I'm thinking perhaps an extra closed-off area when we do penance services?
Yeah, that would be another added plus.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of penance services, when is the Advent penance service coming?
Oh, well, every Advent we have one.
Okay, so that's one you don't know right off the top of your head.
Well, yes.
It's coming. It's coming to him.
It's coming. I think it's on a Tuesday this year. And I believe that it is on
dun, dun, dun.
The 18th of December.
The 18th of December.
At 7 p.m.
At 7 p.m.
Yeah.
December 18th, 7 p.m., time to say you're sorry. And to
get right for Christmas.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, it's
spiritually, of course.
New beginnings and clean slate. And, then maybe Christmas will be a blessing not from Santa Claus, but from Jesus.
Well, that's what the whole Advent season is about. It's 4 good weeks of praying. It's 4 good weeks of preparing. It's 4 good weeks of basically combating the ways of the world, which push Christmas, celebrating Christmas before Christmas even comes. All of the stores, my goodness, some of them at the end of summertime, you saw Christmas decorations coming out. And by December 26th, maybe the 27th, I'll be generous, they still have Christmas decorations out, but not many. And I think Valentine's Day stuff is probably already coming out the last week, even during Christmas week.
Yeah, they don't even have to change the color scheme, though, because it's still red.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's good. But that's one of the things... We mentioned that you are a beloved pastor. One of the things that we love or have come to love, because it's one of those things where at first people were like, why are you being so vigilant about this? And that is, if somebody approached you up until December 24th in the general midnight vicinity and said something regarding Christmas, you gently reminded us that, no, this is Advent. And so it's not Christmas party time, it's Advent party time. There's a definite reason for this season of Advent.
That's right. You know, the world pushes us too fast. Time is going by fast. And, you know, just think of the reality of someone who's pregnant. You know, you don't celebrate the birth of the child until the child arrives, you know? Not for any other reason except, you know, to be joyful that the birth has happened, you know? And with the birth comes great joy. You know, that joy is sustained, is held back, in a sense, during these 4 weeks of Advent. It's important for us to prepare. It's important for us to pray. It's important for us to look at our lives and to see where we are, who we are, whose we are, you know, and to get ready and celebrate the great birth of our Savior. Now, Jesus was only born physically once, and that will not ever happen again. And so it's not the physical birth from Mary that we want to celebrate. It's the birth of Jesus renewed in our hearts, renewed in our souls, renewed in our spirit, who knows, who loves us, and who has come to save us, you know? This is worth celebrating, and this is worth waiting for the celebration.
So the anticipation, really, I mean, this is, just like all things, the build-up is just as important as the event.
Yeah, and you know, it goes with the song that we sing every Advent.
Waiting in silence.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. Love that song, by the way.
Waiting in silence, waiting in hope, right? We wait in silence, we listen to the Lord speak to us, and we wait in hope, you know? And I think that would be great for Steve to, you know, for the end of the program, maybe, you know, play it out and sing it out.
Oh,
and,
I think we should do it, just like we do every week.
Right.
In Advent. Well, okay, so an Advent question that comes up every year, there's three purple candles and one pink one. Why?
I don't know.
No. No, there's a reason. Come on.
There is a reason, because, you know, the color purple, you know, numbers and colors, and there's a lot of symbolism in our church, in the church, not just our church here at St. Teresa's. But purple is a sign of penitence. It's a sign for us to really look at our lives and to see how worthy are we living our life in order to receive this great gift at Christmas, right? You know, but in Advent, we do take a break on one of the Sundays, on the third Sunday, and during that Sunday, what do? We celebrate, right? We celebrate that we take a break from the penitent side of life, and we really, you know, celebrate the goodness of God. And so on that third Sunday of Advent, we light the pink candle, and the priests wear different vestments as well, as many people see.
Very good. You did that well.
Thank you. I stayed awake that day in seminary.
good priestly training. Very good. All right. Well, then, is there anything else we need to prep for Advent?
Well, not necessarily prep for Advent, but I hope you've been able to take some time with Our Lady, Untier of Knots, Undoer of Knots, in the bell tower where we set up that little shrine area. Take a look at it. There are prayer cards there. You know, a lot of people have a lot of struggles and problems and things that they just basically knot up their life, you know. And our Blessed Mother, especially during this time in Advent, she's the one who will untie those knots, you know. And so stop by during the week, spend some quiet time, take a prayer card, pray it at home, and really get to know our Blessed Mother in this new way, because she's there to help us as well. You know, she's not just the mother of God, the mother of Jesus, but she's our mother as well. And like all good mothers, what she wants to do is help us to undo those things that really bind us. And so make sure you stop by and take a look at that.
A wonderful idea. And so we thank you for joining us in here once again, Father Ray, and I hope you have a very wonderful Advent season.
Thank you, Steve. God bless you all.